Thank you. for the text. I forgot to tell them I was starting worship from down here this morning, so we'll give them 30 seconds to move a camera. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord today and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. As we come this day, being Palm Sunday, you will want to make sure that you've all got your palm branches before we begin. So if you don't have a palm branch, raise your hand now and somebody will get one to you. Okay, everybody's got one. Perfect. Because we're going to need those in just a second. We're doing that. Yeah, yeah. I'm not there yet. She doesn't want me to forget the session update, which I will now that I've said it out loud, but we will get there. Throughout the season of Lent this year, we've been making use of some worship resources that were produced by the editorial team of a journal entitled Reformed Worship. That has been on the slides, but just so that we acknowledge that is what has been happening, and we will continue with those for a couple more services still, and we're grateful to the editorial board of Reformed Worship for their work and their sharing of resources with the broader church. This week, we received news from Vina Türkay, our office administrator, that she will be leaving us for other employment. We wish Vina well, and we have begun the search for her replacement. A job description has been prepared and is going to be advertised. If it's not already done, it's going to be out in the world soon. If you know of someone that you think might be a good fit for that job, let them know that we are searching, and we would be happy to forward a job description to them. And just to let you know who to contact, Trish Brown, wherever Trish is hiding, back there, and Keppel are leading the search. And this week, of course, being Holy Week, we have a series of special services, and we hope that you will attend as many as possible. Each service adds its part to the recounting of God's great acts of salvation in Jesus Christ. The session summary. See, I remembered.
Good morning. This session met on Tuesday, April the 8th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Psalm 31, verses 9 to 16. It describes our weakness and our despair and asks God for mercy and compassion. Session spent time discussing special services and fee structures. We are sad to report that Vina Türkay, our office administrator, has given us her resignation. We wish her well as she moves on to a new position with the Mohawk Council, which offers more hours and benefits. Trish Brown, Kempel Barath, and John Matthews will form a committee to find a replacement. If you know someone who might be interested in the role, please speak to Trish, Kempel, or John. Susan McDonald reported that Lauren was granted permission to use the south laneway behind Caldwell Hall as the storage area for the construction materials. Fencing would be put up this week and will not interfere with the two fire escape doors in the gym. As we reported in February, Lauren would be closing St. John's Lane as of Monday. We are unaware of what this closure will look like, but we will send an email out to everyone before Monday, Thursday service describing how you'll be able to access the office door and the elevator. The Worship and Music Committee presented the candidate for the McGaughey Organ Concert on May the 9th. Colin Miller will perform. I reported on behalf of the Communion Committee that there were 50 people who took Communion on March the 9th. Thanks.
Any In a moment, a whole bunch of stuff is going to start to happen. So before it starts to happen, this is your invitation to be part. Our call to worship this morning is a bit of a reader's theater piece, so those who are taking part in that are free to move to their spots right now, and I'll try to get out of the way so Jeanette doesn't bowl me over. And after the reader's theater piece, as we sing the opening hymn, we're going to do our triumphal procession. We will start from where the candle is. And I'm going to invite anybody who is young or young at heart and knows that they want to take part right now, they can meet me at the candle in a minute. Come on, guys. I at least have two people who will be triumphant with me this morning. What we're going to do at the appropriate time is we're going to come down here, down the center aisle, we're going to cross, we're going to go up the side, we're going to come back down the center aisle again and back around again. And all of you are invited to bring your palms and wave them and be part of that. So please feel free to do so. If you're worried about the hymns, of course, you can always see the hymn boards as you're coming up, the screens. There are words on the back, so there will only be a brief spot there, and you know the first hymn by memory anyway, so I don't need to tell you what the words are. Ready, guys? We better go back here because I need to light the candle first. Give me 1 second to light the candle. Friends, as we come into worship this morning, as in all weeks, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. Let us stand for the call to worship this morning.
Hear the word of the Lord from the book we love. When Jesus finished teaching, he pushed onward, climbing the steep hills toward Jerusalem. He was approaching the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, which are near Mount Olivet, when he sent two of the disciples ahead.
Go to the next village. When you enter, you will find a colt tied, a colt that has never been ridden before. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, just say, "The Lord needs it."
So the two disciples went and found things just as Jesus had told them. The colt's owners did indeed ask why they were untying the colt, and the disciples answered as they had been instructed, saying,
"The Lord needs it."
The disciples brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats on the colt's back, and then sat Jesus on it. As Jesus rode along, some people began to spread their garments on the road as a carpet. When they passed the crest of Mount Olivet and began descending toward Jerusalem, a huge crowd of disciples began to celebrate and praise God with loud shouts, glorifying God for the mighty works they had witnessed.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You folks, stop making these wild claims and acting this way.
Listen, if they were silent, the very rocks would start to shout.
Our opening hymn is number 218. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Will you take the candle? Do you want me to take your branches?
Jesus, you are dead.
Well, I made it back to my seat when the music stopped. How about you all? Friends, our God is present among us and welcomes us, saying, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." Amen and amen. We like a good service of praise, don't we? But oh, how quickly are we to desert Jesus when the going gets a bit tough. If we are honest, we aren't that different than the disciples who on Palm Sunday were crying, "Hosanna," and by Friday were joining the crowds that screamed, "Crucify him," betrayed him, and denied him. We don't mind following Christ when all that is asked of us is to attend a worship service once in a while. But when following Christ demands something more, all of us, we quickly turn away. Hear now this prayer the prayer of confession. O Lord, who on this day entered the rebellious city that later rejected you, we confess that our wills are as rebellious as Jerusalem's, that our faith is often more show than substance, that our hearts are indeed in need of cleansing. Have mercy upon us, Son of David, Savior of our lives. Help us lay at your feet all that we have and all that we are, trusting you to forgive what is sinful, to heal what is broken, to welcome our praises, and to receive us as your own. Amen. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we, free from sins, might live for righteousness, and by his wounds we have been healed. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is number 215 in the Book of Praise, Filled with Excitement, hymn number 215, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Oh,
guys want to come over here? Do I have any other young people here this morning? Oh, just us. How are you guys this morning? I don't know, because I'm usually running around doing other things. What door do you come in when you come into church in the morning? Do you come up that way, or do you come up the big doors at the front? You come in on the big doors at the front. So you walk by the big stones that are out on the front yard every Sunday when you come into church. Is that right? Yeah? Is that right, Dad? Yeah, on this side. Yeah, so you come back the big stones. You've seen the big stone, haven't you? Because it's big. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding. It's at least Preston's size. I'm pretty sure it's Janiah's size. It's almost my size. It's like this big. It comes up to here, I mean, there's another one beside it. So when you go out this afternoon after church, or this morning after church is over, I'm not going to preach that long. When you go out this morning, you take a look as you're going out the path. Look this way, and there's a big stone right outside there. It's a big stone. And then, of course, our whole building is made up of stone stacked upon stone stacked upon stone, right? This morning in our opening, this morning in our gospel reading, so you'll hear this downstairs, Jesus says, if these people were quiet, even the stones would cry out. What do you think the stones would say? What do you think? Hosanna, like we've got all these stones, right? Our building's all made of stone. Do you think the stones would say it's a hard rock life for me? Think, maybe. Or maybe they'd say, don't take me for granted. Thank you. I'm here all week. What about the rocks on the road to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? What do you think they said? Maybe Hosanna? Do you think maybe the stones themselves sang out? Maybe. Certainly, the sounds of all of the people would have echoed, right? Because stones make sound echo so that it would sound like it was coming from everywhere, and even the stones. There was a lot going on that day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, wasn't there? The disciples and all of the others were treating him with great respect. They were throwing their coats on the ground in front of him so that the dust wouldn't get kicked up. It was a sign of honor and respect. Well, so that the dust, so that if they could put them down, it would be like carpet. And the dusty road, the dust on the road wouldn't rise up and get all over him. He would stay clean. It would be like you would greet a king. So there's that, right? People are greeting Jesus like a king, and they're waving palm branches and laying down their coats, and they're yelling their praises. And all of that excitement, it upset some people. That's right. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were upset because it threatened their position. So they wanted Jesus to make all these people stop the noise that they were making. Don't draw attention lest they get in trouble with the Romans. And a lot of the Jewish leaders were hoping that all of Jesus' disciples too would just be quiet, that they'd calm down. But Jesus says, if they were quiet, the stones themselves would cry out. They'd start talking. What do we think that those stones would say? Maybe they would say that Jesus is the one who was there and created the world. Maybe they would say he is their true king. Maybe they would say, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Maybe they'd start singing like we sang, right? Maybe the rocks would say that the Pharisees should have been saying all along, this man is the Son of God. And that is part of the mystery that is revealed to us all in this coming week. And you're going to hear about things downstairs, because this is our passage for today. Do we want them to stay until after we're done of the anthem? Does that sound good? We're going to sing something right now. The choir is, and Trish is in the choir, so she can't go with you right downstairs right now. So you stay there until we're done of the anthem, and then we're going to walk down to our classes. Okay? Thank you for coming up. She can go that way. Friends, let us once more come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, as we come now to the reading of your word, we ask you to illuminate our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. May the light of your word brighten the Lenten path ahead of us as we journey in steps of Christ toward the cross. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 12. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout loud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2, and it will continue from 19 to 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love yours forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through the through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you. I thank that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord, O Lord. We beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I give you thanks. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And this morning's gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Luke. Reading Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now, after Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their coats on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all of the deeds and of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' But he answered them, 'I tell you this, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes things aren't always as we expect them to be Have you ever had the experience of meeting someone that you know, but not where they're supposed to be? You know, you run into the nurse from your doctor's office in the grocery store, and you pass, and you nod, and you smile, and you think, I know that person. But without scrubs on, she looks completely different, doesn't she? That sort of thing. Perhaps it's someone you deal with on some sort of professional capacity, and they're at a social gathering, and you just have one of those unsettling moments, and no idea who that person is. As we turn to Scripture this morning and hear this story then of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, we have a similar sort of experience, or perhaps we should if we don't, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem and looks ahead to his arrest and crucifixion. He draws together the ancient longings of the children of God and the expressions of political power of his day and puts them against one another. And they don't quite seem to fit. Or maybe they do. They are elements that shape the story that will unfold over the next week in the life of Jesus and his disciples, in the life of the church, in your life. Commonly in the life of the church, we know this episode that we have heard read to us this morning as the triumphal entry. It's a victory celebration of sorts. In the ancient world, it was what you would expect to see after a great battle, as the victorious general and his armies parade through the streets of their capital city with the vanquished rulers and the spoils of war and all of those who have been taken into slavery from the defeated country on full display. It is the ultimate image of power. And yet, Jesus interweaves it with another scene and another image. Rather than some great war horse strutting and snorting its way through the streets, Jesus, we are told, rides along on a donkey, not astride some noble beast, but awkwardly bouncing along on a donkey's back, having to lift his feet to keep his toes from dragging in the dirt of the ground. How long had the citizens of Jerusalem longed for that day? That day when their champion would ride victoriously through the gates of the city and reclaim the temple in Jerusalem as God's own temple. You see, in about the year 587 BC, the Babylonians had invaded Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple, they deposed the Davidic king, and they took many of the inhabitants of Jerusalem away into exile. Some 70 years later, the descendants of those exiles began to return to their ancestral homeland. They had hoped, as they did that Jerusalem would be restored, that the stories of this great city before its fall, that they would get to see it in all of its glory. And they hoped that the Davidic monarchy, which had governed that glorious city, would be reestablished. But it was a vision that never really came to fruition. While Cyrus the Persian, the one who had finally defeated the Babylonians and who had set all of the captives from Babylon free and allowed them to return to their home, while he had done all of these things, they really weren't free. They continued to live under the domination of the Persian rule, and after the Persians, under Greek domination, and after the Greeks, Roman domination. You see the theme there. It is in this context of 500 years of living under the occupation of another country that Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And he looks back to the writings of the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah wrote to those first returnees who came back to Jerusalem. And he writes into the context of their crushed dreams that they still live under the power of the Persian Empire. They still send exorbitant tributes away from their country, and all of the wealth and the goodness of the land is drained off. And not only the wealth, but the hope of the people as well. Writing at this same time, Nehemiah, who shows up earlier in the Bible, but that's merely a mistake of collation and not chronology, Nehemiah writes, "Here we are, slaves to this day, slaves in the land that you gave to our ancestors to enjoy its fruit and its good gifts. Its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have sent over us because of our sins. They have power also over our bodies and over our livestock at their pleasure. And we are in great distress." And yet, Zechariah holds out this vision of hope. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. See, the people return. See, God continues to be with God's people, and God will indeed send his champion." Just not quite in the way that you might expect it. Rather than a great warrior astride his war horse, the sun glinting from his sword held aloft as he parades through the city, God's champion, like the Davidic monarchs of old, will be humble, a servant of the Most High God, and will come riding on a donkey. It is this image that Jesus calls to mind then as he rides into Jerusalem amid the cheers of the crowds and all of their longings and expectations for something greater, something that will show their power. Jesus comes bouncing along on the donkey. That the blessings of God are not manifest in great power, but in the provision of kindness and justice and peace. Those are the hallmarks of the kingdom of God. Rather than celebrating the symbols of military power or political power, God's promises are these: "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. I have sent forth the prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. Turn you then to the stronghold, O prisoners of hope." Prisoners of hope. It is an amazing articulation of the essence of our faith, that we believe in the Lord Most High, and we are bound not by the things of this world, but by the hope that defines our God. That the still small voice of our creation that was done in the image of God still echoes in the shadows of our fallen nature, and that we try as we might, try as the world might, to hold us in the power of the things of this world, that we will never give in to their attempts to make us feel less than, because we are prisoners of hope, that we have received in our first creation and then through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a difficult week for people of faith, as we face all of the things that Jesus must endure. How tempting it is to rush headlong from Palm Sunday's hosannas and the triumphal entry all the way to Easter Sunday morning and Jesus rising from the dead. And yet, we must make the stops along the way. We must face the fullness of the week, the humility exhibited by Jesus in the foot washing, the betrayal of Jesus by his closest friends, and the burial, his death upon the cross, and his burial in a borrowed tomb. We must stop on all these points along the way because we can see ourselves in all of them. And yet, we know that none of these defines us, that none of these things is the end, for we are prisoners of hope and have been given the gift to see in Jesus the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And as we shout those words, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes, the one who indeed must be crucified that God's will may be done in our lives. Through all of the shouts that echo off the stones this week, we affirm in each of them that we are the prisoners of hope. Thanks be to God. Our hymn of response is number 214 in the Book of Praise. All glory, laud, and honor. Hymn 214. Please be seated. God has given us his only child, Jesus Christ, as the way of our salvation. Let us then give generously as God has given to us, as we present now our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for the great deeds of salvation that you have done and continue to do. Bless these offerings of thanksgiving, that they may further your kingdom here on earth. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And once more, let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are the prisoners of your hope. As we enter this holy week, strengthen us to move beyond the festal parade of palms and to follow Jesus into the way of the cross, that united with him and with all of the faithful, we may one day enter through the gates of righteousness into the eternal city, the New Jerusalem. Until then, strengthen us in faith as we pray for the world in which there is so much need. We pray for the nations of this world that worship power and might, and we hope that they may be ruled by your humility and peace. We pray for the church and its leaders, that we may have the mindset of Christ Jesus our Lord and open the ears of your people near and far to hear your good news proclaimed with vibrancy and purpose in a world so desperately in need of your hope. We pray for the victims of human tragedies and disasters of nature. Grant to them peace in the present, and the ability to see a new future for themselves beyond the ruins of this day. We pray for all who are ill or infirmed, and all who have been rejected because they are seen to be weak. Be their healer and their hope amid challenging circumstances. God of compassion, Through Jesus Christ, you have come to us and shared our common story. Help us to place our trust in you, that we may indeed become prisoners to your life-giving hope that surpasses all understanding. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 217 in the Book of Praise. Ride on in majesty. Number 217, or as it appears before you on the screens. People of God, let us claim the freedom that Christ gives us by his self-giving on the cross. And may he enable us to serve together in faith, hope, and love. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the God of love, who showed us love, strengthen us in our love for others. May Christ, who shared his life, grant us grace that we might share ours. And may the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us, empower us to be Christ's ambassadors wherever we go and to whomever we meet, this day and forevermore. Amen.